Good morning and happy Easter to everyone. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Yes, he is. So we praise the Lord for a glorious day. You're probably sitting in a snow-covered living room, possibly, as you're watching this, but we are glad that you are here. And what a day of rejoicing this is. It's an exciting day. I want to say thanks to all that gave lilies in memory of loved ones. We have some here and a beautiful display here on the altar that we just enjoy so much. Those names are listed on the website. We have one more to add, I believe, on the website, and that was a lily given by Travis Seiler in memory of his parents, Harlan and Elaine. So thank you. Thanks to Teresa Anderson for doing this, arranging it, and it is beautiful, as it is every year. So I don't have a sermon outline today. If you're looking for that on the website, it's not there. You're not missing it. But the bulletin is there. If you go to the church website and find the resources tab, click on that and you'll find the bulletin. So no other really announcements to go over. We are just glad that you are with us in whatever way that might be. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you, your goodness, the power of your resurrection, triumphing over sin and death and hell and the grave. We are victorious in you, Jesus, our risen, resurrected Lord. And as we looked through of all who we are in Christ, we know that Romans tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has loved us and who does love us, that you, through your resurrection, Jesus, have made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ, that you have made us to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone, the new has come, and we thank you, Father, that in Christ we are your workmanship. And we could go on and on of all that you have done for us, and all that you are doing in each of our lives. So, Lord, today we are here to celebrate you, your resurrection from the grave, and we thank you for your wonderful presence in this sanctuary, for your wonderful presence wherever people are gathered to watch this service and participate in it, and join with us in the prayers, in the singing, in the worship. Because you are, Jesus, mighty to save. Thank you for this day. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're going to sing. Well, before I say that, I want to say thanks to all our helpers today, which you'll see on the screen, but Marina Schaefer on the piano and Cindy Herbolt will be on the organ, and our sound crew back there in video, and all coming in to make this happen. So this first song is from our praise book, Mighty to Save, number 135.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He is mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as your valley,
of all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You're my Savior. You can move the mountains. You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save forever. Author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Yes, yes, you conquered the grave. You are so mighty to save.
Amen. He is mighty to save, and we praise him for his goodness. We're going to have our opening hymn, number 367. If you want to stand, please, and sing with all your hearts, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Ready.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. He is risen. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. Just a couple notes that I have written down. First of all, tomorrow is Elmer Nath's 90th birthday, and Elmer lives down at Majestic Bluffs in the care center there. So if you haven't thought about sending a card, maybe you can. Elmer is actually in hospice care and not doing the greatest, so we want to pray for him. Also, I know tomorrow is Doug Hondel's birthday. I won't tell the age, but he helps a lot with the videoing of our services here. Prayers for Milton Hondel as well. He is in the Mitchell Care Center, Avera Brady up there, and he also is on hospice care. So we want to remember certainly all of our members in the nursing home and all around. It's a difficult time when families are not able to go and visit their loved ones. Certainly we are praying for the weather as we're recording this on Saturday, and we know they're forecasting snow. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord, we do come to you, Father, with so many praise reports of your goodness and your faithfulness through this time as you watch over us, as you watch over our nation. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, we continue to pray not only for our nation but for our world, asking, Lord, for you to pour out your Spirit upon us in a mighty way. Let the hearts of the nation be turned to you, Heavenly Father. That is the cry of our hearts above all, that we would return to our founding, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That we would return to the founding fathers, and the founding of this nation upon your word and the principles of your word, which is unchanging. Lord, we pray for all those on the front lines in this battle, our healthcare workers across the nation and world, as they're right there in the midst of it. Give them strength, Father. When the battle seems too great, Lord, you are the one who says to all of us, my grace is sufficient for you. Be with those other workers in the grocery stores and all that come in contact with the public on a very regular basis. Lord, we ask for your healing in the midst of this pandemic, healing that could bring it to a close, healing for those who are struggling with the virus, comfort to the families who have lost loved ones in the midst of it. And so much more. We pray for our military, as many troops, guards, various military personnel are being called into action. Father, thank you for their service in our nation and around the world. We pray, Lord, for Elmer Nath as he celebrates his 90th birthday tomorrow. We pray for him and Milton Hondel both, Lord, as they are struggling with their health right now. Be with their families as they long to be with them and aren't able to. As well, as I said earlier, that goes with all that are in the care center or hospital. Be with those, Lord. There's some in this very month of April scheduled for delivery of babies. Watch over them through this time as well. Lord, for the weather forecast, we lift that up to you. For those that are calving and lambing, we know those are not ideal conditions with a heavy, wet snow. So be with them as they do what has to be done to keep those newborn calves safe and healthy. For our whole region, Lord, the whole nation, as the economy is struggling greatly, we pray for our leaders, our president and vice president. Lord, guide them by your Spirit supernaturally with your wisdom. You know what the future holds. We only can see day to day, Lord. Guide them by your Spirit. We pray for our governor of South Dakota, Governor Noem, and all the local officials as we make various decisions. You are faithful, and our eyes are upon you, Lord God, and we know that you will guide us and that you are holding us with your unchanging hand. Thank you for these things, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we would receive our offering, I still want to read the verses here. Thanks again to all. Many of you have been sending offerings in and dropping them by and or dropping them by, and that's greatly, greatly appreciated. God bless you for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So praise the Lord, he is risen." We'll sing the doxology now, please.
God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And we do praise you, Lord, in everything, your word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In the midst of trials, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of whatever it might be, we give you thanks and praise, for you are our source and our provider. We pray, Lord, especially for those who have been laid off because of the situation, maybe not getting the hours that they are used to. Father, we ask for you to provide in different and various ways, unexpected blessings, Lord, as you have done so many times over the ages. Thank you that you are El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for those that are giving, sending it in, bringing it here by the church in whatever ways, various ways it is that we can continue on the ministry of this local church. And we praise you for your goodness in Jesus' name. Father, today we want to confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Anne is going to come now for the children's time, Kingdom Kids.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. It's good to know that you're there at your homes. I know that you're watching with your families, and that is just so neat because, you know, we feel God's presence here. All of those that are here today, I know they do. And the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you are at too. So we're grateful to be here today. And boys and girls, what is today? Easter, right? Today is Easter. And what did God do on this day over 2,000 years ago? Yes, he rose Jesus from the dead. And that is so exciting. That is, it's just awesome. But let's think back. What happened on Friday? We talked about Thursday when we did our last service. What happened on Friday? Friday morning, and what happened? Yes, he was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross, and then he died, and then he was put into a tomb. But a few days later, what happened? Some women and the disciples went to the tomb, and was he there? No, he was not there. He was risen. And that is what we celebrate today. And you know, so what Jesus did for us is what he did to the devil. And so I just want to demonstrate this to you today. This isn't the devil. This is just a symbolization of him. I think the devil is uglier, don't you? You know, he used to be beautiful. He used to be beautiful, but then he turned against God. And now he's very ugly. So it tells us here in John 8:44 that the devil, he is the father of lies. That there is no truth. Whoops, there is no truth in him. So you know what he does to us? He comes to our mind and he says things like, you are not good enough. God doesn't love you. Your parents don't love you. Something bad's going to happen to you. You'll never get to play sports again. You'll never get to go to school again. He likes to tell us these things. But remember what that said? He is the father of lies. And not only that, but in John 8:44, it tells us in that verse that greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. So who is in us? Jesus is in us, right? When we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, he comes inside of us through the Holy Spirit. He is greater than who? He who is in the world, the devil. So when he comes to you and starts to tempt you and do things like that, you know what you do? You just pull out his tongue. When you stand on the word of God, you're pulling out his tongue, and then he can't say that anymore. But he still wants to come against us. And now we're going to read in Colossians 2:15. This is what Jesus did to him. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, disarmed, no power, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Because, see, God raised him from the dead. He took the power away from the devil. And get this, boys and girls, this is the version, it's the, International Children's Bible. It says, I gotta find it. 2:15. Are we in here? Hold on. Here it is. God defeated the spiritual rulers. He defeated them. With the cross, God won the victory and defeated them. He showed the world that they were powerless. So see, he's getting to be less, right? When we stand on the word of God, he is. But he still tries to come against us. He still tries because he's going to try until the day that we're not here anymore. But you know what, boys and girls, even the youngest one of you, of us, if you stand on God's word, if you have faith, you knock off his head, and look what's left. Nothing, just this pillow. And then it also tells us in the Bible that he's under our feet. So we just put them there, and we just put him under our feet. And that's what happened to Jesus, to the devil, when Jesus was raised from the dead. He is powerless, but we have to stand on that. We have to believe it, because remember, he's the father of lies. He's going to try and tell you, nope. But we just, like Jesus did, we say, it is written, right? Okay, so Pastor Mike and I have this song that we're going to sing, just a little song. And it's one that we learned from Rhema, the Bible school that we went to, by Keith Moore wrote this. So we're going to try this, all right? Ready? He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Now the victory is complete. Jesus for principalities made a show of them openly is under our feet. The devil's under our feet. Amen. He is. Let's pray. Father, we just love you so much. We're just so grateful for what you did for us. You loved us. You sent Jesus to die for us so that we could be with you one day. And we just pray for these boys and girls that as they go out today and tomorrow and are celebrating Easter and your resurrection, that we just remember all that you've done for us. And we remember what happened to the devil so that we walk in victory. Help them to be a light wherever they go this week. Help us all to be a light, to go where you want us to go, to say what you want us to say. That could encourage people, that could bring them to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Yes, the devil is defeated. I forget where we ever got that puppet, but it's seen a lot of action over the years. It's a good illustration. We're going to sing another praise song, Celebrate Jesus. This is in the hymnal 362, or it's also in our praise book. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen, he is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. He is risen, he is risen. And he lives forevermore. He is risen, he is risen. Come on and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Yes, amen, amen. He is risen. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Yes, Father, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We get to celebrate every day of our lives. We live in the power and the glory and the joy of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that we are living on this side of the cross, that we know the end of the story, and we can rejoice in it. Lord, we know, we think of those, the disciples and all the people living in the midst of it. They didn't know what was happening from day to day, even though you tried to tell them. And we know and we rejoice in your goodness and blessings. We thank you for the scriptures, all four gospels and even more that speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we look into it, into your word this morning once again and ask for you to speak to our hearts. And I ask for you to speak through me by your Spirit as well to those gathered here and those watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 20. We sort of take different paths each year when we come to Easter. Today we're going to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Amen. What a blessing it is to have life in his name, Jesus, the name above all names. So let's look into this. We are here on the resurrection evening. And there are the disciples, as it says, behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And by the way, it says too, on the evening of that first day of the week. And that is why we meet and we gather on Sunday, and that is why Sunday is the first day of our week. As we look at our calendars, it is because of Christ's resurrection. That's what it's based on. So they're gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And fear had, in a sense, it had overtaken them. They didn't understand what was going on. Jesus tried to tell them. Some of the women had been to the tomb in the morning. Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. Remember, at first she thought he was a gardener. Peter and John had ran to the tomb and saw that it was empty, but they didn't see Jesus yet. So there was a lot happening that day. They're all gathered that night behind these locked doors. Why? For fear of the Jews. For all they knew, they were going to be coming after them. The 11 disciples now, because Judas Iscariot is dead. And what would they do to them? Were they going to kill them too? They wanted this whole movement to be stopped. And there was Jesus in his resurrected, glorified body, standing there. He just, however it was, if he walked right through that locked door, he could have. Or if he just appeared, there he was. We're not told which way, but there he was in his all of his glory and power. And just think about this. What did he say to them? He could have said, "You guys, what is the matter with you? Peter, I told you or you were going to deny me and you did it." He could have said, "Shame on you. After all I told you, after all I did, after all the miracles, and you deserted me when I got arrested the other night at the garden, you all left me." He could have said all of those things, couldn't he? But he didn't. We might have. We probably have in far less situations when people didn't meet our expectations. If family, friends, whatever it might be. Oh, we maybe let them have it. But what did Jesus say? Peace be with you. Twice right there, he said that. Peace be with you. And he shows him his hands, shows him where the spear was pierced in his side as he was on the cross. And what? It says they were overjoyed, filled with joy, because they had not yet seen him. Peace be with you. So many times that word is used throughout the New Testament. It compares to the word peace in the Old Testament, Hebrew, which is shalom, and all that comes in that, blessings and healing and comfort, quietness, wholeness, salvation. Peace with God. When he says, peace be with you, number one is our peace with the Father. See, he had come. He hung on the cross. He took our place. He bridged the gap between earth and sinfulness and heaven. He made the way. He is the way. And so that peace, the peace of God that we get to walk in, is incredible. Two times, at least, it's recorded that they were gathered behind locked doors on this first night of the resurrection. And what we're going to see, as we read a week later, when Jesus comes to them again, they're still behind locked doors. Again, and you can't blame them. You cannot blame them. They didn't know what the religious authorities were going to do to them. But let's think about those locked doors for a little bit before we go on here and get to Thomas a little more. We think about our heart spiritual, our lives spiritually and emotionally. You know, we can tend to have locked doors. Things in our lives where we have never told anybody, where we never, at least we think, we would never tell anybody. Things we would never tell our doctor. Things, if we ever have gone to a counselor or something like that, we wouldn't even share there because that door is locked so tight, nobody could ever get in except who? Jesus. We can have that locked door so tight, that door locked so tight, and you know what? He knows it. He knows what's in there. And that's a good thing. We need him to know that. And he can enter those places as we ask him to, and we should. And he can bring healing and wholeness to those areas. And he can bring peace to those areas of our lives. So don't fight him on that. Ask him, Lord. He knows it anyway. Just a side note about the locked doors. He knows it. So you might as well tell him in your own private prayer time, Lord, you know this, and I need your healing in this area of my life. Yes, this door has been locked. Nobody knows, but you do, and I invite you in there to do what you need to do. And thank him for it. Because why? He cares for you. He loves you so much. And you know what? That's why he came back a week later, one of the reasons, that the next Sunday, there they were. Now, it says Thomas, Didymus, that word Didymus means twin. He had a twin brother or sister. Don't know any more about it than that, but that was his name. His name, Thomas, he was also called Didymus. One of the 12 was not with the disciples when Jesus came on that first night. So the other disciples told him. Was it later that night when Jesus left? Was it the next day? We're not quite sure. Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Guess what? We have seen the Lord. We've seen the nail marks. And Thomas says, you know what? Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I get to put my fingers in those holes, unless I get to put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Wow. That's where he was at. He just, what? I don't know. Did he feel let down by Jesus? Probably. Were his dreams and hopes crushed? Yeah. Didn't go as he thought it was supposed to, did he? Which we saw about Judas Iscariot on Thursday night. A Okay? But Thomas wasn't at that place, thank goodness. What do we call those things? I said it earlier, unmet expectations. We have those in life all the time. Some people think that God has failed them. He never has, and he never will. No, he never, never will. Things just a little bit. What do we know about Thomas from the Gospels? We know that, yeah, he could border sort of on the side of what we call a pessimist rather than an optimist. He'd sort of take the negative side of things. Sometimes he'd look to the worst of the end of the story in his mind and in his thoughts. We see that, and that's why he's called Doubting Thomas, because of this. That's why that phrase exists even today. We see it before the cross when Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. That's John chapter 11. And they had got word that that Lazarus was dead. And Jesus says to them, you know what, let's go to Jerusalem. I'm going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And in chapter 8 of John, the end of that chapter, we would find that at that time, chapter 8, Jesus was in Jerusalem. The end of the verses, he declares and says, before Abraham was born, I am. In other words, I have existed always. That's what he was saying. The Pharisees were so mad, they picked up stones. They were going to stone him to death. They got out of there, left Jerusalem, went back further up in Judea during that time. And so, when Jesus says, we're going back to see Lazarus, well, that's Jerusalem is right down the Mount of Olives, you know. And what does Thomas say there? Thomas says to the rest of the disciples, this is John 11, verse 16. He says, well, let's go also so we can die with him. Yep, that real, real encouraging words there, Thomas. We might as well go. They're going to kill Jesus. We're going to die with him. What do we have to lose? We come to John 14, and this is the night before the cross, that time. And in verse 4, Jesus is talking earlier than that, but he's talking about the mansion he's prepared for us. Verse 4 of John 14, he says, you know the way to the place I'm going. And Thomas pipes up in verse 5 of John 14, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Look in some other translations there. It's interesting on those of Thomas, that phrase. He's like, we don't know how to get there. We're not going to get there. Everything is hopeless. That's basically how we translate that into our lives. And of course, what did Jesus say to them? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's the gospel then and today. So then we come to what we're reading today. After the resurrection, Thomas says, no, I'm not believing you guys. 10 of them. His best buddies should have been. They were together the last 3.5 years. Nope, not going to believe. Unless I get to see it myself, I am not going to believe. That's pretty much what we call a skeptic, right? But thank God for Jesus, for his mercy, his grace. Let's bring this up to today. You know, we're in the midst of this pandemic. Here it is, Easter Sunday, a glorious day. Normally we'd be packed in here and in the balcony. And wow. I sort of had a little meltdown here this morning in my office. The tears were just rolling down. I'm like, oh, Lord, this is so hard. This is one of the most glorious days of all in our worship time. And I actually called Carl Zabe, said, Carl, I just need you to pray with me right now. Otherwise, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this service. I'm having a tough time. And of course he did, and praise the Lord, we're rejoicing. But this pandemic, I mean, it has affected all of our lives. There is not one person in the nation that has not been affected by this. Lots of dreams and hopes that have been changed. You think in the athletic world, the seniors, the teams that have made the state basketball tournaments, not happening. The whole track season, not happening. The Olympics, pushed back a year. All the professional sports, not happening. Weddings, changed. I've had one April, one May, one June. We're all making adjustments. Some we already have, the others we are all making adjustments in big ways. And on, what about funerals? Not even able to happen other than just a group of 10. And on and on and on it goes. But guess what? God is with us. He is faithful. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank God we know He is with us. And as you hear me pray, and I pray, I'm praying all the more earnestly, asking God to pour out His Spirit upon our nation. We need a shaking, and that's what's happening right now. Such a large part of the nation just has the attitude of, I'm in control, I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, I can go where I want to go, whatever, I'm in control. Yeah? But if anybody's thinking that now, they need a smack on their head with a 2x4. Not literally. God is in control. He is sovereign over all. Did He bring this virus? No. Sickness, disease, the root of it is all in the devil, the sin of man in the Garden of Eden. That's when it entered in. Is He going to use this? Yes, absolutely, 100%. He is using it. He is using it. And we will see the results, I believe. But I'm telling you, for pride, that better be knocked down. Yesterday I talked to the oldest member of our church right now, a 99-year-old gentleman, talked to him on the phone. I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He said to me again yesterday, Pastor Mike, this is bringing our nation to its knees. Eugene Weidenbach, 99 years old, a World War II veteran. Said, I've never seen anything like it in all my years. It is bringing this nation to its knees. I said, yes, Eugene. Later on, I talked to a 92-year-old gentleman from our congregation. He said the same thing. Pastor Mike, this is bringing our nation to its knees in prayer. I said, yes, and that is what needs to happen. Just what, months ago, all we could fight about was impeaching the president and on and on. Amazing how that has all stopped. We have more important things at hand than nonsense like that. We need to get together, seek God and His face, and pray for this nation. Please, and I know you're doing it at home. I know that you are. Yes, we have differences of opinion on things, but we can agree on one thing together, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that He is the head of the church, and He's coming back in His time. And that's where we need to focus, not on all the differences. Okay, that wasn't in my notes. Did Thomas think they were all making this up? Thomas, you should have been there. You should have been there, Thomas. You missed it. It's sort of like a story I read one time, this little boy. It was Palm Sunday. He was 5 years old. He wasn't feeling good that morning. So he said to Mom and Dad, I need to stay home. They found a babysitter to come and sit with him. He had a sore throat, whatever. So they get home. The family comes home from church. They all have palm branches. And the boy says, what are those? What's that about? And the dad says, well, son, when Jesus walked by, we all waved our palm branches. That's how it was. And the boy says, wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday I missed church and Jesus shows up. So don't miss church. Don't miss it. Thomas missed it, didn't he? But a week later, thank goodness for God's mercy. See, in that week, the other 10 disciples, they were still encouraging Thomas, come on, it's true, it's real, you got to believe. Jesus didn't tell him he was coming back a week later, I doubt. But a week later, he did. They're in that room still. The doors are locked still. He stands among them. He says again, peace be with you. And then he goes right to Thomas. See his mercy, grace, and love. He goes right to him. Thomas, put your fingers here. Reach out your hand. Put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. See, God, Jesus, their plan for him was not done. They had big plans for him. Back in verse 21, I jumped over that in this passage. That first night when Jesus appeared, it says, he said to them, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He had a ministry, a mission for them. What was he telling them by that? You cannot do this in your own strength, and we cannot either. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. And of course, the fullness of that would come 50 days later on the day of Pentecost. And it did. It did. Thomas, tradition, I don't have this from Scripture, but tradition says about Thomas that as he went out to spread the gospel, he went as far away as India. That's pretty amazing. As a matter of fact, what I have read, even today, to this day, in this town called Chennai, C-H-E-N-N-A-I, India, there is on a hill by the airport near that city, there is a grave marked Thomas the Apostle is buried here. Pretty amazing, isn't it? So what? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me, yet have believed. That's us. That's all of us living today. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Wow, what a great confession of faith Thomas had there. My Lord and my God. What's he saying? My Lord. That's comparable to the Old Testament word Yahweh, the most holy name of God there was and is. You are Lord and you are God. God, if you look in the Greek, it's talking about supreme divinity. That is, what Thomas said there is one of the simplest and clearest confessions of the deity of Christ in all of the New Testament. And he spoke it out. See, he saw it, didn't he? And that day he was born again by the Spirit of God right there. Praise the Lord. And we have to be too. Jesus said in John 11 there with Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. He's saying this to Mary and Martha. Do you believe this? And he says that same thing to every one of us today, to all that are watching this, to you, do you believe this? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he is the Messiah. Not just like Judas said as we looked on Thursday night when Judas went back to the chief priests with those 30 silver coins and threw them down. And what did he say? If you watched and listened, remember? He said, I have betrayed what? What kind of blood? Innocent blood. In other words, all Judas could really say was he was a good man. I betrayed him. He didn't come to repentance of his sin and say, and go to Jesus who was not far away. Jesus, I sinned against you. You are the Christ, the Messiah. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do it. Thomas did. Peter did. All did. We have to as well. Because as Jesus said, let me say it again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And no one means no one. Coming to the Father through Jesus, he meant what he said. That is the only way. Let's pray. And so, Father, on this day, this resurrection day, we do rejoice in you, your power that is in us, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray, as people are listening to this service and entering in with us, if there's anyone who does not know you, Jesus, if they just know you in their head and not in their heart, that they would pray right where they are at and say, Jesus, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent of it. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you would come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior and wash me in your precious blood. I ask that you would cause me to be the new creation in Christ that you said I can be. So come into my heart and my life today, I pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I prayed. If you prayed that and meant that, then you are his child, born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. For our closing hymn, we're going to sing here number 357. 357, if you want to stand together, we'll sing, Christ Arose. The Lord. We walk in his victory. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, and above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. Thanks for joining us in this service. You may be seated. God bless you.